Everybody here?
I think this is it.
Yes.
Yep.
Shopping.
Ah, right. It's wonderful to help the transient sati. Flowers. Uli as well?
Yes.
Good. Good, good, good. You are well? Good. Let's begin with some time, a little bit of time, contemplating compassion for all beings. Lots of beings are suffering. Nobody in this room, of course, but lots of beings are suffering, and very important to always start by consideration of that's the teaching, Dharma. Namotasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namotasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namotasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Sake of all beings, wisdom, compassion, and non-clinging awareness. So I have a few things to share with you this morning about Anapanasati. Of course, we have two people. I don't know how familiar you are to the text of Anapanasati, but I can try to sum up a little bit and describe the teaching from different ways. We have a few days. Any questions at all from those meditating, not meditating, making bread? Lovely bread, by the way. Is that yours, Simon?
That was mine.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. No longer yours.
Never was.
Exactly. Like a flower that is 1 minute together, and the next second, little tiny pieces. Eh? Now it's not called a flower, it's called a what? Petals. Different. Same, but different. Any questions before I begin? Yes.
It's, the fact that we are not, that it's not possible actually to control an action, to really control an action, which I experienced when I was practicing clarinet. It's not actually possible to say, now I'm doing the movement. So the answer of the text is, it's then the karma doing it. So my question is, or my thought, which I would like to check, since still there seem to be possibility of free will of changing action, would then be, if we work on the aspiration, on the good, would then those efforts sneak in the karma, and I mean, I'm still able to play the right note, you know, speak the right word. So that's the training of the good or whatever you like, which then comes out anyway, even if you're not, if it is not possible to really control it, it still comes out so-called the right note or the right word. Would you say this is building up of the karma?
Yes. Yes, that's quite correct. But I just would like to speak more about it. But yes, quite correct. You could say, you see, in the Western mind, the person needs to be in control, right? We need to actually be in control. In the Eastern view, it's not quite like that. It would be like a puppet, you know, a puppet with strings. And if you think about it this way, there's not really a problem between one view and the other. I'll show you what I mean. If you think about a river, you know a river? Maybe the Rhine? And it goes through a place where there is twists in the river and a valley and there's rocks underneath. Okay? How that river flows, completely how that river flows and appears, is due to what? The rocks, the shape of the valley, the twists in the river, maybe the vegetation by the side, the weather. You see? So you say, fate. This is not karma, right? Fate. The river is the way the river is. It's so big, who could change it? Make sense? And many people are like that, right? Couldn't not change the river. But what do you need to do to change the river? Well, the river is very powerful, and the rocks are very big, and it moves in a certain way, correct?
Yes.
So it feels like it cannot be moved. But it can when you start to move a rock here, and you move a rock here, and you change the vegetation slowly, and maybe you straighten out part of the river, you bring in a backhoe. Takes you 3 months to make a canal, you know. Right? Maybe you build up some rocks over here because they're beautiful and it straightens things out and the river begins to flow differently. Who's controlling that? The river or you? Or nature? The Western mind normally would like it to be you. You are in the backhoe making the decisions. But really, what's making the decision? Nature.
So from a not from a Theravadan point of view, not from a early school point of view, but from a later point of view, you would say that Buddha nature, or the enlightenment mind, are you following? The enlightenment mind is straightening out the river. You don't have to do it. All you need to do is have the aspiration to make the change. The wisdom mind makes the change in that sense. But the Western mind really wants to control things and is very frustrated when it can't control things, as it actually should be. Are you ever really in control, or is it Buddha mind driving? Now, what's the unwholesome? The rocks, the turbulence. The turbulence is caused because there's been so much conditioning, right? It seems almost impossible to remove it, but actually, it's faster to change the river than the length of time the river got built. The river may have taken 2 million years, or, okay, not 2 million, 7,000 years from the last glaciation, or 8,000 or 10,000 or 12,000 years, especially here. And over time, that's a long time for a human being. Short for the planet, but very short for this. It's like a millisecond for the planet. But it feels very long for the human being. But actually, only in 3 months can the river be completely changed. Do you see? It's really, that's what you have to see. The river feels very big, but it only takes a little bit of time by the right intention. So the awareness is interfering. This is where recollection, the word sati, recollection, becomes so important. And I'll give you an example. This is a very good question. I'll give you an example. If you don't use recollection, you can't straighten out the river, because then you're observing. So there's two aspects of mindfulness. One aspect of mindfulness is you observe very clearly right now. That helps. But it doesn't really liberate very quickly. That's why people are very frustrated. What liberates very quickly is recollection. Watch. I'm going to pick up. I want to pick up. Who made the decision to pick that up, anyways? It doesn't matter, does it? You can say, I did. Try. Huh. Okay. So I'm going to pick up the bowl with my hand. Right? Watch. This is exactly how it's changed. It's how we change the river through recollection. Mindfulness is being aware or mindful, present with every moment. Yes? Present. But that doesn't change the river really very quickly. Because you can now have the mental state, the same mental state, which is the boulder, the rock in the river, again and again and again, but you're present with it. So you're present with aggression or greed. Let's say it's greed. I want that bowl. I need that bowl. That bowl must be my bowl. It is going to be my bowl. But really, you're being mindful. You're being mindful about the greed. Do you see? So you control it. As long as I'm mindful, everything's okay. You see? So nothing really gets changed except you're mindful. Yeah? So you're really good at being mindful, but nothing's been changed. You're just observing. It's okay. I'm observing. Everything's okay. There's a clubs now I see around the world. They are observing clubs, but nothing changes. That's a political commentary. Like this. So it stays the same. And then when you go back out of the retreat, you wonder why it's the same. Nothing's really changed. The river has not been changed. No excavator. Now we need the excavator. You know the backhoe? Heavy equipment. What's heavy equipment? Recollection is heavy equipment. Okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Recollection is heavy. Now we talk about heavy equipment operators. Okay, watch. With awareness, with mindfulness, you feel the activity, the karma, the activity, and the body feels jerky. You can feel the greed. You can feel it's not right. It doesn't feel smooth. It doesn't feel open. It doesn't feel clear. It feels blocked, yes? You can feel the block in the body, and you can feel the tension or the qualities in the mind. That's discrimination. You all know the word discrimination. That's discrimination. Like you taste wine or you taste coffee, you taste tea, you go, it's not right. That's what you need. That's why I have people tasting coffee all the time or chocolate. You need that level goes, it doesn't taste right. The water's not right. The water doesn't taste correct. So you feel. Feeling. This is not good feeling. Let's try again. What would it be like to pick up the bowl with no greed, hatred, delusion, pride, jealousy? Let's play the perfect concerto, you know? What do? You try again. Try again. And you observe, but you are recollecting. You are recollecting the states that build the touch, build the picking up. And by recollection, you purify the states. Do you see? Because you're actually now changing the karma. You're purifying by changing the states, not by observing. If you observe, you'll do the same thing over and over and over again. So you have to have discrimination to go, that was reaching with greed. That was reaching with aggression. That was reaching with dullness. Actually, that was pretty good. I'll try that again. Yeah. So you try, you know, so you say, oh, so you read, you know, you just do something, you know, you go, where was the mind? It's dull. Where was it? So you do it again, right? You put your hand out, and this time, it feels good. It feels good. You go, that feels good. That really feels good. You know the difference between the feel in the body, the feel in the mind, and you go, that's good. Let's do that again. Let's try it again. Do you see? And that's how you purify. So you can purify your speech, you can purify your body action, but it doesn't mean you're in control. You're just changing the boulders and changing the course, the stream, and your discrimination picks up and goes, that was good activity. Not, I'm having a good activity. Not, I'm in control of myself. There is good activity. This is very different. You don't need to go, I must be in charge. Where did the thought come from? I'll tell you, the thought was there for a long time. But you can purify it by being aware enough to go, it doesn't feel right. Let's find out what it feels when it's right. That's very different. So you experiment. You try. You try to walk from here to there right. You play the one note right. How do you know if it's right? You don't. It feels better, right? And then someone comes along and says, it's not quite right. Thank you. What does it sound like? Try this. Oh, that's better. Okay, now I hear it. And you try again, you see? So you need other people too to help you go further. Go further. further with the mindfulness, further with the recollection. Are you sure that's the best quality you can do? So you see somebody else go like this. That's good. You see, because your taste, your wine tasting is getting better. You've done that 100 times, and your wine tasting, you see somebody else and go,
whoa, that's good.
Let me try that now. You see, that's how you learn. That's why being by yourself in a cave or a cabin for 1 year may not be the best thing, because it can be very slow, because you come out thinking,
oh, I'm so good,
until you encounter something difficult. So, I'll give you an example. Someone once was meditating somewhere. I won't say, you know, because they were meditating for 1 year somewhere. And they were quite skilled, quite skilled. Matter of fact, Dharma teacher, meditation teacher. And I was at the Dharma Center. And I think you were around for this time. And anyways, this person, lovely being, meditating. And the administration left a note on the board. And they opened the note up. I wasn't there, but I was there afterwards. They opened the note up and it said, you owe us more money. We've recalculated your fees and you owe us another $1,000. And she started crying, breaking up. So she came to me. I came back to my office in the retreat center. And she was very upset. I said, why are you so upset? She says, she holds this note. And she's crying. I holds this note. I said, why are you so upset? They want to charge me. I don't have the money. And I looked at the note. I said, they should never have done this. This is not proper. It should go through me. Never, never, never from them to you. This should go to me and I make the decision. And I said, okay. You don't worry about it. You don't have to pay any money. It's stupid, right? Don't worry. Don't worry. It's fine, 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 fine. Oh, it's all going to work out. But I said, why are you crying? Why are you so upset? I said, this is good. I'm so happy they did this. You see? I'm so happy they did the wrong thing. Because look what's happened to you. You've broken down. You're crying. Over what? A piece of paper. There's nothing but a piece of paper here. That's all. Everything is the piece of paper. It is all emerged from the piece of paper. There's nothing there. It's fantastic. I said, this is great. Now you've got something to really work with, you see? That's the thing about being in retreat. You need these things to come along to go, oh, that's not a good state. You know, you need that. Like, you know, you're meditating. Everything's quiet, perfect. And around the corner comes a man with a gun, with a dog, you know, like a pig hunter. Where's my dog? You know, and you're you know, with a gun. Or one time I was sitting and meditating across in a lake, the Dharma Center, very peaceful. And then I see a little bit of orange over there across the lake, across the river. And it's kind of strange. I look up, and there's a man in an orange suit with a big rifle with a scope, and he's got goggles, you know, night, those special goggles, like this, and he's going like this. And I'm sitting there like this, and the gun is right on me. And you're sitting there like this, and there's a guy with a gun standing there looking to shoot something, like deer, you know, deer, it's deer hunting season. And you're sitting there like this,
trying not to look like
trying not to move, right? This is good. This is what you want. Because at that point you go, okay, what's the state like? How are you reacting? What are you going to do? No, you don't even want to do that because they go, oh good. Yeah, that's right. Look. This is true. This is true. This is what, you know, life gives you opportunities to lift you up. Lift you up, you know. You know, what do you do when someone, you're in Africa, and the guy sticks a machine gun in your stomach, says, come with us. How do you get out of that? You know, this is real life. That happened to me once. Machine gun. Come in with us. Right in the stomach. No. Yes.
No.
Yes. How do you get out? You got to get out with your life. So, even in retreat, you have to practice mind. You have to practice recollection. Otherwise, what happens is the power of cutting through, the power of reshaping the river, is not strong enough. So a musical instrument is a very good example, where you practice, 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 and let go, and see if the river flows. You know, you've got to see if it flows. So where do you let go? You let go in life. In retreat, you're controlled, kind of, you know?
Controlled. I am walking, mindful.
Everything's fine. The food's good, you know, the sun, that's all fine. But when it gets difficult, let's see how you walk. Let's see how you reach for a bowl when it's difficult, you know? How do you reach? Right? How do you do it? With what? Where did it all go? Where did all that mindfulness go? Gone. Just like that. So recollection is the way in which the river is turned, but you have to have discrimination to do it, otherwise forget it. You have no idea whether it is good or not good. So observation just doesn't cut it. You know what I mean? It's English expression. Or maybe, I don't know if it's English expression, but you have that expression, eh, Simon, over there? Doesn't cut it?
No, yeah.
You don't use that? Doesn't cut the mustard. Whatever that means. Doesn't cut the mustard. I think usually the mustard cuts you. If it's Keen's mustard, you get cut by the mustard. I like Keen's mustard, by the way. It's still probably from Canada because we have most of the mustard in the world, as it turns out. The French Dijon mustard is mostly from Canada. It just doesn't say. Yeah, they got caught at that, you know. The French got caught at putting, you know, French mustard, but it's mostly from Canada, because we have. French got rid of all their doesn't pay, so they got rid of all their mustard fields. Now they're bringing it back. It's embarrassing to have mustard from Canada and put French Dijon mustard. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you don't have to worry about you doing it. You are doing it. You are doing it. You see, the word for consciousness, there's many words for consciousness and mind. Chitta, nama, vijnana, different words in Pali. But the word that we usually use for when we talk about insight is vijnana in Pali, or vijnana in Sanskrit. And that word is very special because it's got a V-I, which in English goes to B-I. In Sanskrit goes to English goes to B-I, or Latin B-I, which means divided, two, both. So you've got V-nya. Nya is knowledge, two knowings. So the human consciousness is amazing, because human consciousness can be divided into two knowings. That is, what is happening apparently, what is happening now, and what has happened in the past. So the human consciousness can reflect what has happened in the past, and it can project what is going to happen in the future. If I think this, this will likely happen. If I do this action, this will possibly happen. Right? And by that, we're able to make changes, even though it's not really happening that way. It seems to be happening that way. Excuse me, nose is dripping. So recollection is one of the most important things to learn. If you don't get it right, you do it again and 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 again. That means you may have to walk across the floor 1,000 times until you feel, that is exactly it. The breath. When does the breath really let go? Let go. Sometimes you need peacefulness, and sometimes you need great strength. You need both. For insight, you must have great strength. This is the excavator. These are the wrathful. In Tantra, the wrathful. So the peaceful form is Manjusri. The wrathful is Yamantaka. And for insight, you have to get very strong to move the river. Because those rocks are very big. You need very big equipment to get in there. And yeah, I'm going to move the rock. So you, even though you are not really deciding ultimately to move the rock, where do you begin and end? This is why I'm not always so keen about the term unconscious. There's no such thing as unconscious. There is just consciousness, full range of consciousness. But most of what happens for a human being is not experienced by the human being. Most of what we are experiencing right now is not experienced by you or me. It's happening way below. But that doesn't mean it's not available. It just means right now it's not available. Make sense? For instance, if a boat goes by on the other side of the lake, you may not register it, but we can find out later that it was. That's okay. Way down below consciousness, but it was actually recorded and taken care of. It's all taken care of for you. And that's why it's important to purify the river, the stream, all the actions to purify it so that you don't have to be concerned about it being taken care of. It's taken care of very well. If the river is not purified, then what happens below the surface is not good, because it comes up eventually. You know, like,
I love you all. You're so sweet, I love you.
You know, it's almost like Eddie Murphy. You know, Eddie Murphy's American actor, Eddie Murphy.
Hi.
But that's not what the body's feeling. That's not what the river is really expressing. You see? So you have to purify way, 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 way down deep into the river. So the river flows beautifully. Then you don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be concerned at all. How you react, you'll react well. Make sense? If you purify way, way deep, when it comes to how something happens to you, you'll react well. You don't have to be concerned. You just let go. You're spontaneous. Whatever comes out, doesn't matter. You do whatever you do. It will be okay. How do you know? You test it. You keep testing it. You keep testing it. You keep testing it. You see. You had a question there, Andreas. A long time ago, you had a question.
Yeah.
About a half an hour ago.
Yeah. It's true that you registered it well. That it's not important anymore.
Okay. Good. But this is a very important question. And good to speak about over and over and over again, because this is a very big problem today in meditation. You see, when it comes to Dzogchen, Mahamudra, when it comes to the equanimity of self-liberating, then you need pure observation. But you better have the skill. Otherwise, it doesn't go anywhere. You have to have a very, very clear mind to not interfere and let things fall. That liberates. But before you do that, you're going to have to do a lot of work of recollecting to get the stream straightened out so it can let things liberate. Good training. You see,
political commentary. Oh, it must be hidden. It must have been hidden for that.
It still picks it up.
In the teaching of Mahamudrin Dzogchen, it assumes there's a lot of training. Training. So many people today are practicing it without the training. They don't have the training. The stream is not clear. So they go, and they wonder sometimes why nothing really changes. Because the purification work has not really been done. Not strong enough. Not strong. You need to do the purification work. So, any other questions?
That's once done.
Yeah.
I just wanted to check an instruction in real detail. The breaking open the orange, that really
indicating
with trimming.
Yes.
So say you're, you can see the orange.
Yes.
Or you think you can.
Apparently.
It's vivid. The instruction is to back to watching the breath and look for the impermanence.
Yep.
In the breath.
Yep. Okay. Yep. If you're practicing samatha, then you follow the breath and you feel the breath. Close. Stay close. If it moves to insight, then you're looking for the impermanence, the rise and fall. So this is where I was going to go this morning. Thank you. In the, for Marianne and Francisca, in the first, in theory, in the first 11, or even 12, but that's where it comes together. If it is pure from 11, from 1 to 11 and 12, if it is pure tranquility, deepening calm, vivid, beautiful, lucid calm, then it's not so much the impermanence, it is the opening of the channels. It is the settling of the mind and learning to get the balance between bliss and clarity and non-thought. That's what you're doing, those three. You want to balance those three. If it's too much bliss, then you may have a disturbed mind. If it's too much clarity, it may be clarity but not enough bliss. You know, very clear, but you're not happy. You're dry. Too dry. If too much non-thought, you may not have enough bliss. Do you see? So you want this balance. And this balance, as described in many texts, not so much in the Theravadin texts, is 9 stages of settling the mind. Okay? 9 stages. Until the mind completely lets go of any kind of thinking, any concept making, and is extremely lucidly calm. There's no need to make it settled, it just settles. Now, when it settles like that, that's because the breath has settled. As long as the breath doesn't settle, stop, come to a rest, come to real profound rest. The mind is turbulent, bouncing around. So, if you start here,
and you don't open up the channels carefully, you'll see that they will jump. You'll feel very good, maybe. And all of a sudden your lower body feels good, or your heart feels good. But you've skipped over areas. Do you follow? It's like a river goes around the boulders. It skips around the rocks and goes to where the area of least resistance is. So the professional method of developing tranquility is to go step by step by step by step. You need months. Most people need months, 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 months. Some people need years of training to open the channels all the way through, so the whole body is really open. The whole psychic fine energy body is really open. That's so the method that's used in this teaching of Anapanasati, as taught to me by Namjoon Rinpoche, you will not find this in text. This is how he said it's taught in the monastery, in the retreat centers. Is you start here and you follow the sensation as the channels open. And you go step by step by step by step, and you don't let it skip over. It takes weeks, 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 weeks. So you know that the head is open. The throat is open. The chest is open. The arms are open. But it doesn't work simply like that, you see. Life doesn't work so easily. I wish it would. It just doesn't. There are days when it skips. There's days when it gets stuck. There's days when it doesn't go anywhere. There's hours when you just go. You have to have great patience. And you have to know where it's going. You have to have the instructions. Follow it. Keep on going. Keep on going. Eventually, the breath the breath is going to settle. The breath is going to settle deeply. And it must come to a place of profound resting and openness. Has to. And from there, you can unfold profound calm. So it's purification of the channels. Bit by bit by bit, you purify the channels, but you have to have a lot of patience. You can do this through Anapanasati, or the other method, the tantric method, used in the tantras, is you work by visualizing the channels. You know the channels? You visualize the channels, and normally you put color and seed syllables, bijas, seed syllables, and different yidams in there. They might be this big. Seed syllable might be this big. You know, and you've, like, for instance, in Manjusri, you would visualize in the heart the entire Sanskrit alphabet, each syllable, completely lit up perfectly in the heart center, right? One wheel one way, one wheel the other way, right? With the D in the middle, da 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 da, in the middle, light going everywhere, it purifies the heart. You can do that if you can visualize that perfectly clearly, right? You are drawing the prana into the heart center, into the central channel. It's very powerful yoga. But you can do the same thing. You will do the same thing with this process if you follow. It all goes the same way. I know. Believe me. It goes the same way. The two are identical. But the difference is, this one is for you, whereas when you're practicing Tantra, you're practicing as a Buddha for all beings. This is the supreme difference. Is in Anapanasati, you go and you purify you. When you practice Tantra, you're already practicing as an enlightened being for all beings, purifying all beings. If you don't, you're not practicing Tantra. If you're doing it for you, you're not practicing Tantra. As Tantra, immediately you become Manjusri. All that light is Manjusri. It's not your light, it's Manjusri's light. And every bit of light is purifying all beings. This is supreme compassion. So not only do you purify you, you purify the difficulties around emptiness and compassion at the same time. It's very powerful yoga, but very difficult for people to practice. Why? Because they want to be you. They want to be this being. To practice Tantra, you have to give up you. You have to become Thousand-Armed Chenrezig or Guru Rinpoche. You have to become the guru. It forces you to become the guru. Just like the things that Jamie's showing you is forcing you to breathe. Even if you don't know what's happening, it's forcing you to have to find another way to breathe. Naturally. Not because he says, do this, but by doing this, or whatever it is, eventually you're going to have to breathe. If it's not a day, it's 2 days. If it's not 3 days, it's 4 days. It's a week. You're going to have to breathe in a new way to be able to get your leg over here. Or to be able to get your head around here and move this leg so it moves. It's going to have to change how you breathe. And that means more flexibility, more flow of energy. You go, oh. That should happen sometimes. You know, you stand up or you sit. Whoa. What happened? You're breathing. That's all. You're breathing. Or you're crying. Ah, that's a good sign. Because now you've got, you're beginning to work through the blockage. Congratulations. That's good. If you're crying, it hurts, it's uncomfortable. Ugh. This is excellent. It just means something new is going to come out. You just have to stay with it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, 2 days. Who knows? Usually a few days, right? A few days. Comes out. You know, one time I was with a group of people in Ontario, and we had a big room, and doing a movement awareness on the wall, up and down the wall, very slowly. And this wonderful lady, yoga teacher, for many years, wonderful, wonderful yoga teacher, she's just going up and down the wall like this. She says to me, I go, what's wrong? This is awful. Everybody else is going. And she's going. And so I've changed everybody to do something else. She says, I want to stay with it. Can I stay with it? I said, yep, you stay with it. And she just stayed with it for like maybe 1 hour. Because she's very disciplined, you know? 1 hour. She says, this is killing me. I can't stand this. I said, what is it? She says, I don't know. Because it's so simple. All it is this. But that movement with awareness opened something very big. And afterwards, maybe 2 weeks later, I'm talking to her, and she says, that was fantastic. I know what I need to do. I said, what? I need to go study karate. So she started studying karate, and now she still teaches yoga. But it really changed her. That one movement. She realized she was holding something very big, which another movement couldn't get at. You never know. That's what's so good about life. You never know when life is going to bump into you and tell you something important. You know? Ooh. Oh my God. I missed that. That's a wonderful thing about life. So in the Anapanasati technique, you follow the breath. Kind of follow. You help it along a bit, but not much. And you follow where it goes. And as it opens, it's going to open the channels naturally. Sometimes in the face, when you concentrate here, the nose gets very big, it feels very big. You start to cry, twitches, shakes, maybe the head starts to open. As all these open up, this maybe gets hurts a lot, or very blissful, can be very blissful, or it hurts like someone has a nail. Oh. And then the head starts to open, but you follow. And you don't give up. Why do so many people, why is it that many people don't do this meditation all the way through? Because they give up. They give up. And today, I only have 1 week. I have time off, I have 1 week from work. Can I do it in 1 week? No, actually you can't. I only have 1 month. Okay, go for it. It takes time. takes time. It takes time to follow through. Just like the inner yogas, these tantric inner yogas take time. They're never meant to be super fast. They're just not super fast. They take time. It takes time to let go. Let go, change. So that is the tranquility side, but also it is purification. Because when you purify the channels with awareness, it really, really changes your physiology. Then when it comes to practicing insight, anicca, dukkha, anatta, it is supremely easy. It's much easier. Otherwise, it's very hard because the stories, fantasies are many. I don't know if that completely answers your question there, but...
Just slight sidetrack on the back of what you're saying about tantra. So, when a teacher
yes.
gives you a yudan,
mm-hmm.
that is to address a particular kind of part of or quality of blockage, is it?
If a teacher gives the student the life yidam, the yidam for the life, that is the major working of both the blocks and the talents to ripen the being, the major work to be done, the major work. It used to be in old days, olden times, long time ago, that you only received one or two or three initiations in your whole life. You went to India or you crossed Tibet and you received major initiation, your yidam, few initiations, and that's you practice that for the rest of your life, you perfect it. 3, 9 years, 12 years. That's what you do. So you see in the case of Milarepa, right? He's waiting for the big initiation. Marpa says, I'm going to give you the big initiation. Milarepa says, great. Well, it was about 7 years of hard work before he ever got the initiation. I think maybe more than that. Today that doesn't happen so much. But still, if you study with a tantric teacher, at some point, especially if you request it, they will bestow the yidam. That's for the life unfolding, the major, greatest life unfolding. But there are many other yidams that can help you from at different times. And by tradition, whatever one you are working with, whatever you receive in a wangkhur, is now your yidam. But it may not be your central yidam. Do you see me? So from time to time, you might spend 6 months or whatever on some other yidam to ripen other qualities in your being. But the central one may not be the easiest for you, but it will give you, open up the greatest range of talents and liberative qualities in your being. It points, like for instance, if you receive a Dharma name from your root teacher, maybe even somebody else, but your Dharma name, the Dharma name traditionally should be the name that you attain to. In other words, you become that. You know, in Europe, it used to be that you got named after what you did. So your name was John Baker, right? Or Fred Smith, blacksmith. You know, today it would be Andreas Psychologist, or Andreas Psychotherapist. And then the children are Susan Psychotherapist and Robin Psychotherapist, you see? But with a Dharma name, the name is a high name, right? And that is given to attain to, so you become a manifestation of that name. So you completely embody that name. In the same way with the yidam, you want to eventually embody that yidam. All the good qualities, the full range of that yidam. So when they say the Dalai Lama is an embodiment of Chenrezig,
They mean his body, speech, and mind is naturally residing in that expression of a of Buddha nature, that expression of Buddha nature. That's what you work towards. But we do that in careers, you see. Right? I aspire to be the greatest baker. So wherever you go, you make fantastic bread. I aspire to be a great musician. Wherever you go, you make fantastic music. I aspire to be a great artist. You know, whatever it is. This is the name of the career. So when you were a child and you were given the name John Smith, you were, right? Is this correct? You were expected to follow in your father's footsteps and become a good smith, a good blacksmith or goldsmith. In Dharma, you're expected to become a manifestation of your name, of your name. You want to rise up and manifest your name. That's the principle. But whatever Yidam you're practicing, that for that time is the Yidam. This is something that a lot of people don't understand. If you receive a Wangkor and you practice that Wangkor, at that time of practicing, that becomes the Yidam. Otherwise, you're missing something. You're really missing. Because you're not really... It's okay, it's just something to help a bit. No, it must be full. Must be full. Okay? Yeah. Any other questions? Yes?
About your examples before, I realized that the hard part for me, the work, is to be conscious about now I'm ready for challenges or now I'm ready for control. What it makes when I'm ready for something, then it's easy to get somebody that makes that because I'm expecting it. But the hard part is to not know, to lose control about when it's which state.
Yes, this is psychologically, this is a very difficult thing that you spend lots of time learning or unlearning. Because you can say that everybody is always controlling. The human being is always controlling. It must control. Every organism, from an amoeba, from a single-celled a plankton in the water, or a plant, is always controlling. Like this plant, when it's alive, it's now dying slowly. We do that, you know. We kill things and we like to look at the beauty, but it's actually dying. It's a funny thing, us humans. But, you know, this plant is able to control its environment. You don't know, many people don't know this, but a plant is able to send out chemical signals to control its environment. So if there's an insect that is stressing it, it will send out a chemical to let other plants know to send out a chemical that hurts the insect. This is for real. It's fantastic, actually. This creature developed a life that doesn't move. It can't run away from insects. It can't run away from the rain. It can't run away from fungus. So it had to develop a very sophisticated method of controlling its world. And they do. These are control freaks. They really are. They're control freaks, plants. They're amazing how they do each other in. They control bacteria. They control fungus. The fungus controls them. It's amazing. There's no organism on the planet that isn't a control freak. But you see, that's not all of life either. The other thing about life is that at some point, the peony has to let go, has to surrender, has to let go. That's also control. That's biological control, to let go. So you see, a human being is always going Control, let go. Control, let go. Because letting go allows newness to happen, allows something else to unfold. This is the most difficult thing. In our society today, it's very confused, psychologically confused, because you have to let go for Dharma, for liberation. You have to let go. But people are very scared to let go. So they control. And they control their teachers. They do. They control their teachers a lot. Manipulate their teachers all the time. It's natural. Because they're scared to let go. Scared to let go. Why? Why are people scared to let go? What's going to happen? You see? What happens a lot in our society if you let go? If you surrender? What happens? What happens in our society? We know from history what happens. You get hurt. Yeah, you get hurt. Right? We have enough examples. Everybody has enough examples. Some people do. Some people don't. But enough examples in our society where if you really let go, you get hurt. So you stop letting go. So you control. Make it safe, right? Safe. Completely safe. This has been going on for thousands of years, too. It's not new. It's not new. This is a very difficult thing. You have to let go, but you don't want to become a slave. So you want a Dharma student to let go, but with intelligence. You know? This is the art. The art is, how do you let go and not be hurt and be intelligent and be clear? So we have two words in English. I don't know in German. But you can help me with this. We have two very, very big words in English. One is surrender, you right? And one is to submit. You know, submit? Submit.
Unterwerfen. Surrender heißt sich hingeben und submit heißt sich unterwerfen.
In English, to submit has a negative quality. Because to submit is to give up your rights, your intelligence, your honor, your good qualities. But surrender is beautiful. The problem is today that nobody knows the difference. Almost nobody knows the difference. The words surrender and submit have become mixed up. So the art of surrender is no longer really felt. You know, trusted? It's no longer trusted. So to grow, you really have to surrender. But nobody wants to submit. But the two words, the two qualities are now so mixed up in the Western mind, psychologically, that the trust isn't there. People don't trust to let go because they're worried about being hurt. This is a very, very big problem. So to practice Tantra, you have to really let go. Because you're going to become another being. So it's supreme challenge. This is why they always say, you know, you read in these books, you know, these esoteric secret books, you know, they used to be secret. No, nothing's secret anymore. But these secret books. Tantra, secret practice, because it's very high and difficult, maybe even dangerous, because you're going to have to let go. Do you see? Yeah. Well, that's true. Because really, you're being asked to become a Buddha, a enlightened being, one of these figures, a Yidam, right away. No gradual, no slow, gradual, I will do it on my own time, you know? Let me decide in 30 years if I want to. No, you come for a Wangkor, you are Manjusri. You're being asked right now. You are Manjusri. Be Manjusri. Send out light. Be fully compassionate to all beings. You don't even have a chance.
right now, let go. The only way you can do it is you have to completely surrender to becoming Manjushri, the guru mind. And of course, right there, it's in the text. How about this for Westerners, eh? Allow your mind to become in union with the guru mind. Allow your speech to become in union with the guru's speech. Allow your body to become in union with the guru's body. No way. I'm not giving up me. I want to become enlightened, but I don't want to give up me. You see? So psychologically, this is a very difficult thing for most people to do. Make sense? Psychologically, it's very, and physiologically, is hard to do for most people because they feel they'll get hurt. So what they do is they control. Yes. I will awaken quickly for the sake of all sentient beings. They take the vow, bodhisattva vow. Like this? No? I will awaken quickly for the sake of all sentient beings, but I will control it all the way. On my terms. On my terms. I will control liberation on as long as it's safe for me. But you see, to liberate, you have to give up you. You have to feel, like for instance in the Christian mystical tradition, you have to unify, you have to become the bride of Christ. You hear that term? You know that term? You have to become the bride, you have to become married to Christ, married to God. Are you kidding? Yeah, you have to. You have to let go. But you don't know what's going to happen. You have to have a lot of trust to be able to let go. So you see a story like Naropa and Talopa, yes? You know, Naropa and Talopa. Over 1,000 years ago. Okay. So here's this little man, Talopa, with his student Naropa, right? And they're walking along, and Talopa, the teacher, says to Naropa, they're in a beautiful town, and there's a marriage going on. You know, marriage. Imagine this is what it'd be like. This is what it'd be like. Kate and William are getting married. Yeah, Kate and William at the cathedral. And there's guards, and it's, you know, there's 2 billion people watching, okay? And Talopa says to Naropa, they're both wearing rags, you know, they're just wandering along. If a student really loved me, they would go get Kate and bring her to me, and I will have her. No! You don't do that. It's against all the rules, teacher. No, if a student loved me, he would go and get Kate. This happened, actually, right? Go and get her and bring her to me. I want her. No, you see, that's against the rules. I will get beaten up. And they will kill us for doing that. No. If a student really trusted the teacher, they would go, just trust me. Trust me. Everything will be fine. It will be fine. Bring me that woman. So this is, of course, in ancient India. So the woman is on top. She's all dressed up. She's on top of the elephant. The groom is there, all the men, the family. It's a high wedding going through town. So Naropa, he's a good student, right? He goes up to the woman, grabs her, and starts dragging her over. She's going, no, you know, dragging her over to the teacher. Of course, what happens? He gets beaten up. Pow, 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 pow. Now, why did Talopa say that? Why did Talopa ask his student to do this? Because every time, every year for 13 years, Naropa was born as a Brahmin, but he was a very famous Buddhist monk. But he was really still a Brahmin with all the rules about society, what is proper. Every time they got together with his teacher, with Talopa, it was basically the same thing. Give up all that structure, give up all that security of the Brahmanical world and let go. And Naropa had to let go. They came and they beat him almost to death. He's lying there in the ditch going, okay. He goes, you're fixed up now. One time, almost every year, right? Something like that, you know? It was always about, we can't do this. It's not proper. Lay down the ditch. It's dirt. No, it's not just dirt. It's feces. Lay down the ditch. No, I'll get dirty. Let go, buddy. So he does. And of course, he gets sick. You know, and then Tilopa goes, he's fine. So all the initiations of Naropa with his teacher, 13, were about surrendering, letting go every last concept, every last idea. He became one of the greatest enlightened beings of India, Naropa, supremely enlightened. Was it meditation? I actually, you know, every year used to go and take students to where Naropa meditated in Ladakh. It's a cave. Hidden, by the way, secret. Someday I'll tell you the story of how I found it, but they don't tell anybody where it is. In a dugout cave with a building over it. And they tell you about the public one, but they don't tell you about the real one, which is way up in the mountains. So we used to go there for retreats. And did he do it through meditation? Or did he do it through his work with his teacher? Both. You need both. So you have to let go all of control. You have to submit, you have to surrender, but you have to learn how not to submit. This is very difficult for the Westerner to do. I think even for an Easterner to do too. I've seen that too. For Easterners, very difficult to really let go. And Tantra, the practice of Tantra, is about letting go. Because it's very fast because you become a Buddha right away. You practice as a Buddha. This method of Anapanasati is you are slowly letting go and allowing the changes to happen and seeing the positive changes, the gradual method. This is gradual, but much. This is very, very difficult, fast, very complex. But very direct. Both are very profound methods of practice. Does that help? This is a tough one. This is a tough one. And you really don't go in life really, really, really far until you really surrender. But you have to watch. If you submit, you don't really go anywhere. That's where the pain is. You submit, but you really haven't given up anything. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What you've done is you've controlled. But it looks like it. So you see some of these students around teachers, you know, and they're submitting, but they're not actually surrendering. Mm-hmm. I've watched that. I've gone to whole classes where the students are all, but they're not actually surrendering, they're submitting, they're controlling the situation. And the teacher's just, hello, it's nice. They're smiling. That smile. Hello. They're waiting. Let go. It's okay. You'll be okay. Nothing can happen. What can go wrong? This is it, you see. What could go wrong? The worst thing that could happen, you become enlightened. That's the worst thing that could happen, is you become enlightened. What could go wrong? But this takes a lot of development, is to have the faith that nothing really can go wrong. Hello. People are very, very terrified. I'm going to lose all my money. I'm going to lose my home. I'm going to lose. But freedom is supreme. You will gain more riches than you could ever imagine. You know, one lady, she wrote me recently, about a month and a half ago. she is, I won't say because some people know her, but she really has decided she doesn't want to work anymore. Just really wants to practice Dharma. But she is going, she has to trust. She knows she has to do this, to give up everything. She knows, she wants to. All this training, all these blessings, all these wangkors, 20 years. And she knows. She wrote me and she said, what do you think? Should I just do it? I said, go do it. You'll be fine. I just give it up. Stop working. Stop working. Give it up. Give it up. Go practice Dharma. Go support Dharma. Go help people. Go practice. Go for it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. She's got assets. It's okay. Assets. She's got a house. It's okay. Got a house. It's okay. She'll be fine. But you know, so she's being intelligent. She's being intelligent, you know? She's being intelligent. But for her, it's a big change. Not in control. She's going to have to just give up and go practice and support people awakening. Fantastic. She'll be fantastic. She's great. She's got all this training. Good, good. Go for it. You just give it up. Go for it. She'll be very rich, very wealthy. So how do you take the breath in Anapanasati unless you let go? What's holding the breath? What's holding the breath from really letting go and letting the universe in? So you have to let the universe in. Before you go and you can travel through the universe, you have to let the universe in. This is love. In the Christian way, not some Buddhist, you know. But in some ways, I'm very Buddhist, you can see. But I'm also very Christian. I don't know about Jewish. I missed that part. I really did. I honestly did. Only when this gets longer, I look at. But I missed it somehow. I did. I don't know what happened. I can't understand. You know, the Kabbalah is very complicated to me. But it is very complicated. I read. I have a book. I unpacked a box from 5 years ago or 4 years ago. I just come back from Israel, and was teaching and sharing things in Sfat, where the Kabbalah is taught. And I've been given all these beautiful books on Kabbalah. My father was a teacher of Kabbalah. I open it up again and go, oh, I just can't. It's so complicated. Tantra's easy, you know? I'm making a bit of a joke about that, but it is. I go, wow, this is really complex. Even though I've taken courses in it, and sort of, I go, wow, this is, I understand it, but it's complex. Why so complex? So, but to me, in the Christian mystical tradition, it's so beautiful. You love. You love yourself until you love openly and let the universe in. So you become open to the universe. You get married to the universe called God. That's surrender. And the same thing in Kabbalah too, you know. You need to have the blessings, and then the ladder, move through the ladder of the tree of life. You have to become the tree of life. Same. Baptism. They have the same process of baptism. Down through the ladder, up through the ladder. One is the baptism of fire, one is the baptism of water, one is the baptism of fire. They both have same tradition. One goes down the ladder, one goes up the ladder. And then you rise through. Just one uses less words. Now, I just wanted to finish this morning with one thing I didn't talk about this weekend, which is the stages as described in Anapanasati are stages of jhana, J-H-A-N-A. Technically, jhana, absorption. You don't need jhana for insight. This particular way the Buddha taught it was really through the path of jhana, tranquility, tremendous concentration. But you don't actually have to have that, but you do need a level of tranquility. And that level of tranquility is technically called upachara. Upa. U-P-A,
C-A-R-A. Upachara, like high, like a upkar. Upkar. That's literally in Sanskrit. Upkar, upgoing. The upachara happens before the jhanas, before the absorptions. And the upachara is a stable mind that's concentrated. Many of you have upachara. Many of you experienced upachara. Very concentrated. You feel very good. Your mind is stable. You can stay on a phenomena for a good amount of time, but you don't get locked in. Do you know what I mean by locked in? You don't get in 10 minutes out. You know that you're looking at the flower. There's still a flower and a consciousness observing the flower. Do you see the difference? Whereas jhana, there's no you looking at the flower. There is just flower. There's just a flower. And even then, it may not be a flower anymore. It may be a tapestry of light in space. And that's it. For 10 minutes, 1 hour, 10 hours, and then until you come out. Okay. You know, and you feel this high off the ground because the mind has been completely absorbed into the object, whatever the object is. But you do have to have at least upachara samadhi to meditate on insight, for insight meditation. So that must be developed. So the method of developing it, oddly enough, is the breath. Why? Because if the breath doesn't flow, no upachara samadhi. So you see how these two things come together. If there isn't a sufficient movement of breath and settling of breath, then even upachara samadhi can't flow. So the principle is you need to stick the mind gently with the sensation, with interest, with clarity, with relaxation, long enough for the energies to flow through. And then you will see that the mind relaxes and can have good focus. This is it, called loving kindness. Loving kindness. Sufficient loving kindness for there to be a mind that can now focus for hours. Hours, hours, hours. This is really the simple, not simple, but the direct way, is you have to have the training at least the point where you have enough time to study impermanence, to study dukkha, to study anatta. So you actually can enter into it for enough time. Otherwise, it's too short. It's like rising, falling. Oh yeah, meditate. Rising, falling. Rising, falling. Oh, it's getting good. That's not long enough. You know what I mean? It's just not long enough. So it has to be deep enough, but not too deep. This training the Buddha described is very professional training. If you can go the route of jhanas, then you have to have a teacher that demands of you, drills, zzz, in your brain, zzz, that you use the jhana for insight, always. That as soon as you come out of jhana, then you use it for a very powerful insight practice, but not for just for bliss. So this is the way the Buddha taught it. He taught it many different ways, but this is supremely quick, direct method, is you develop enough training of the mind so the insight is very, very clear. You do not stick at the tip of the nose for the rest of your life. Okay?
the breath will start to flow, right? So you follow it. As you follow it and you can hold deeper and deeper, like you're inside the breath, you will see you'll go into jhana, you'll go into absorption. You'll get to experience absorption, and the mind will get steadier and clearer and open and less thought. Then when it comes to going rising and falling, the coming into being and passing away of the breath, it is much easier, much easier, much easier to teach. That's the path. That's the path. And you have to get this open. Otherwise, forget it. This must open. This has to let go. Has to open up. If you want very lucid, clear mind, this must open up. Must open up. This is deeply held by emotional conditioning. So that's what I wanted to bring you. So if you want to practice anapanasati, step by step by step by step by step, because some of you may want to do this at some point, it's a very profound meditation, is remember, when you start the nose, you wait until this area is very alive. Okay? Very, very alive. It should feel, the sign is it feels like it's bubbling, or it's being brushed with feathers, or it's all, many things, cold, warm. You'll feel the sensation of touch very, very strong. You want to get it deeper, like strong, until it starts to flow. And you can follow with your mind, like you're inside the breath, as it flows up and enters the body. Okay? That method will bring you to really good training in concentrated mind. Why? Because we love bliss. There's nothing more blissful than the breath moving through the channels, or painful too. It can be very painful. But when it's blissful, you're very interested, right? Isn't that right? When things are blissful, you get very concentrated, interested. You don't want to go anywhere else.
I like this, and don't even budge me.
And you will. You will not want, once it starts, you will not want to go anywhere else. It is so blissful. This is the way we are as humans. We're addicted to bliss. We love bliss. We love good chocolates. We love good coffee. We just love it, right? Bling it on, more, more, more. But then, you know, you go to the teacher and say, it disappeared. Oh, that's okay. Did you watch it disappear? No, I want more bliss. No, so now you watch it come and you watch it go. You watch it come and you watch it go. That's where you move to insight. Where did it go? What's it doing? It hurts. Oh, well, what's the difference between hurt and bliss? Eventually you find out there's no difference. They're the same. Both are sensations, that's all. Pain is a sensation. Bliss is a sensation. What's the difference? In insight, there's no difference. You just watch. You just know the difference. You can see the difference. One comes, one goes. One comes, one goes. That's all. Okay. So for today, if you'd like something to do, is to maybe go past 30 minutes if you can, but 30 minutes minimum for each session. 30 minutes standing, well, that might be too much. You may want to make sure you maybe put your shoulder against a wall or your back against the wall, or get a stick if you go for more than 30 minutes. Most people can't stand comfortably for more than 30 minutes. It's very hard. Yeah. So you can get a stick, nice stick, hold it. But maybe for now, for 1 week, 15, 20 minutes for standing. But you walk for at least 30 minutes, walking very slow, feeling the breath here. So this is the way you do it. You start off and you make sure you have a little bit of water, but not too much, so you don't have to pee too much. And then every 15 minutes you're meditating, I gotta go pee. I gotta go pee, I gotta go pee. I know people do that now, right? Because they're supposed to drink 8 liters of water a day. They've been told 8 liters of water a day. So their bladders are like, yeah, I've been told 8 liters of water a day. Wow. Oh, I know, it's crazy. But there's lots of people that say 4 liters a day. Yeah. In of course, in North America. Maybe California. Okay. So you start, and I like you to have one or two or three hours free, nothing to do. So you start, you find a place outside or in your room, but today is beautiful outside, and you say, okay, I'm going to walk. In insight meditation, in the tradition of Mahasti Sayadaw, 17 paces, which is very short, very short. But right now I want you to develop tranquility, okay? So the arms are not like this or like this, they're at the sides. And you start, and give yourself maybe 10 meters somewhere, 10 meters flat. And you go from one point to another, and you stand like this, and you feel the breath, but you feel right here. And then you walk slowly. But you're not stiff, you're loose. You want to be loose and tranquil, like enjoying. You know, birds are singing. You walk. So you're not tight like this. It's open. You can even walk like this. You're focusing right here. If it works, this, you'll feel your whole body. So if you get into your head, stop and just feel your whole body breathing, your whole right from your feet, right? So you feel a whole body standing and supported on the ground with a world around you, not here. Then come back here. Because you can get very lost in here, you know, very tight. That's where you get tight. So you go and you walk. So at least 30 minutes. Start with 30 minutes. And then you finish and you stand. Maybe a stick or just like this. And you don't stop. You just stay with the nose. Now you see where my eyes are. My eyes are half open, half closed. But where I'm looking is right here, 1 meter. But where I'm seeing with my eyes is if I look 1 meter, I will see a little bit of my nose. Just a little bit. The shadow of the nose. If you come in too tight, too early with your vision, you'll hurt your eyes. So you want them relaxed out here for now, until it starts coming in closer. And your head is natural, just natural. You never stop meditating. So now when you're finished, you're bending, you're moving, and you're still feeling your nose. Touch, 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 touch. It's always about touch, touching. And you come and you sit, and sit for at least 30 minutes. If you can go longer, for 1 hour or 40 minutes is fine, right? Just don't go backwards, but stay something. And sit with a good posture. Chair is fine. Doesn't matter. Sit like this, doesn't matter. But as long as it's good and comfortable, and go right back, and always stay here. Don't ever lose this. Like, in other words, even if you go to the toilet, make a cup of tea, never lose the sensation here. Because it takes time to build up the energy that starts to move. So you want to be here all day long, nowhere else. Nowhere else but here. And the sign, you'll know, I'm just telling you because it's obvious, is we'll start to feel like bubbly are you getting this at all? Twitchy and like champagne bubbles, or warm, or cold, or little pinpricks, or alive. Start to open up. And you just let it flow. Let it go where it goes. But we really want it eventually to go up into here. And you follow it. You don't push it. You don't go, oh good, I'm going to go into my forehead. No, just follow it. And you will see, if you can do that, and you can stay with the sensation, totally interested in the sensation, follow, 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 you're going to see the mind is going to become very concentrated. Okay? And when you lose it, you just come back.
You lose it, you come back. You lose it, you come back. Okay? If you find you get too tight and too distracted, and you know something works, like the things that Jamie's showing you, right? Or you know some yoga, or you know some qigong, or you know some tai chi, right? Then do that for 10, 15, 20 minutes to bring the body awareness back and start again. Not while you're sitting, but maybe between walking and standing, or between standing and sitting. And you then do something, maybe what Jamie's showing, crawling, or something that you did today, and you go, ah, now I feel brighter. Now I feel more centered. I can now sit. This is normal. This is actually traditional. That's why yoga was taught. Yoga was taught to support meditation. So you see, for instance, if you go to a retreat center in Tibet or Ladakh or Bhutan, is a six yogas retreat center. They have, the last one we went to, 200 different yogas, all secret. They don't ever show them. 200 yogas they do to open the channels. And they do that between meditation. They do a lot of sitting, you see. They do maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 hours of sitting. But they do that to keep opening the channels so they're right on. It's traditional. It's called energy yoga. Just that was the way it was practiced, called energy yoga. Then you will see when you start to watch the rise and fall or the transience, it's easy. If you don't have that, it's not easy. You keep losing it. Okay, so for today, and I'll come back tonight. I was going to take the whole day off, but I'll come back tonight and I sit with you and sit with you, and we'll just keep practicing together. And then tomorrow morning, class, you can ask questions and I'll keep a little deeper unfolding. I also want to spend more time speaking about insight practice, how that works, and maybe on Wednesday, a bit more of insight, move to insight. So, that's the way. A little introduction. And some of you practiced this before, but it's good to hear it again, right? Hear it again, 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 hear it again. And also, I want to show you some of the differences between vipassana and anupassana, to show you the way in which anupassana is given and vipassana is given. A little bit of a difference, and together. Good.
Tonight would be at 7:30?
Tonight would be at 7:30.
Okay. Sorry, Mark, can I just ask one thing?
Sure.
The refuge?
Oh, yes. Yes. Good, so, good, good. So, you don't need to do it every time you stand or sit, but at least every time you sit, very quickly. You know, you can go Namotasa Bhagavato Arahato Samasamdasa, or you can do the full refuge. You can do it in Pali or Tibetan or English, whatever you like, but it's very good. Every time, at least, let's say every hour when you sit, you remind yourself, I am awakening for all beings and I am taking refuge. It's very good to do, because it takes 1 minute and you take refuge. And it sets the tone, sets the quality. Even to do the four Brahma Viharas sets the quality of the mind. And it's always a good place to start. Even every time you walk or sit to do Namotasa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhasa, to say, this is what I'm doing. I am working towards becoming a fully awakened being. You're naming what you're doing. This is my name. My name is, you're naming full awakening is very good to do. Just even short, just do it. Thank you for that. I always take it that people do these things automatically, but I always find out they don't, so thank you for getting lazy. As I get older, I get lazy.
In terms of the surrender.
Yeah. Well, you see, if the surrender isn't deep enough, then I usually say to people when they're ready, okay, now time to do 100,000 refuges
and bodhicitta and prostrations. Why? To surrender. To get it straight. Straighten it out. Makes a big difference. Makes a huge difference. Some people, not so. They're, it's okay, they're fine. But others, especially if they're young, they're starting the teaching, I usually say, yeah, 100,000 prostrations, which means 100,000 refuge and aspirations for full liberation for all beings. Huge, huge, huge difference. It's very important. Many people who have difficulties in the spiritual life, it changes. It just changes it. I think everybody should. But I have to wait until they're ready. I'm not a teacher that says, okay, everybody do their foundation, we should all do it. Because doing it then becomes a ritual. Like, oh yeah, I got through it. You know, my teacher said, let's all do the extra, the nundro. Everybody goes and does it. Well, then you have to usually do it again. There's some teachers who will tell you, because they've practiced in the old tradition, the old school, in the yogic, really old school, they say to their students, 4 sets of nundro, and then I will teach you dharma. It's true. 4 sets. Westerners, 4 sets. Then I will teach you. Oh, yeah. Kala Rinpoche, it was 600,000, easy. 600,000 chenrezis. Otherwise, no empowerments, no instructions. He wanted to know, are you committed to liberation for all beings? Are you compassionate? So 600,000 times, which is 1 million chenrezis. 600,000 is equivalent to 1 million because there's 6 syllables. That's how it works. Okay? 1 million is 6 syllables. If it's a 10-syllable mantra, then that's 1 million. If it's a 5-syllable mantra, that's 1 million. If it's a 100-syllable mantra, then 1 million is 100,000. Got it? That's how it works, actually. So you see, sometimes the problem is not that you're meditating. Like a person does anapanasati, practice anapanasati, but they run into problems. As a teacher, you have to know where the problems are. The problem is they shouldn't be practicing anapanasati right now. They should go do 100,000 prostrations, which means refuge and bodhicitta. Prostration should be the last word. It should be refuge, bodhicitta, prostrations. Never prostrations. Ever. Because it's more important to do the refuge than the prostrations. Always. Always. If you can't do the prostrations, then you do 100,000 refuge. If you physically can't do it, then you have to do it. Somewhere. Doesn't have to even be prostration. Somewhere you have to get refuge. You have to take refuge in liberation. Somewhere. Somewhere has to happen. And not everybody has to do 100,000 prostrations, because by hearing dharma or by practicing or being around teachers or whatever it is, they actually come to a place where that's ripe. It's good. They actually have it. Some people don't. I prefer people do 1 set of extraordinary foundation practice because they're ready to do it. It's ripe. It's the right time in their life, as opposed to, you will now do it. Ah, I did it. Good, now do another one, because you're not ready. You have to be in that place where it's time to do it. Some people need to do it twice. Some people need to do it once. Some people need to do it 3 times. You never know. By the way, the foundation practices, the extraordinary foundation practices, are supremely high yoga. And there's some great teachers. That's all they've ever done, is the foundation practices. Great yogis. That's all they ever did. Why? It's all you ever need to do. It's all guru yoga. That's all you ever need to do. Because the last one, which is Vajragini and Vajradhara, that's complete. So if you can get that, that's fine. Vajrasattva? Who needs anything else but Vajrasattva? I can't wait to get to the higher stuff. It is the high stuff. It's as high as you're going to get. It's funny, eh? I can't wait to get to the foundation practices. I was like that when I was a teenager. I can't wait to get to the foundation practices. Mm-hmm. Then I can get to the really cool stuff, you know? You were doing the cool stuff. There's really not much more complicated than doing the refuge, bodhicitta, and prostrations. That's a pretty complex high meditation, visualizing the entire refuge tree while you're doing prostration, right? That's pretty up there. Okay, said lots. So for that reason, on Saturday morning, I'm going to bestow the empowerment of Dorje Pomo, which is the fifth of the foundation practices, which is considered a secret practice, but I'm going to give it. That is Saturday morning, and I will give some instructions on foundation practices, okay? Because I've been requested to do so. Mm-hmm. So Dorje Pomo, and that's very important for the Guru Yoga, and it's number 5, so I'll give number 5. Start at the end, but it's important. There's reasons for that right now. Okay, Saturday morning. Yeah.
Are other people allowed to come in for that, like people that have been on the weekend?
Yes, but I will discuss with you. I'm very careful. Nobody who is in a difficult place, they must be in a good place, because it's. It used to be that you would have to have all your foundation practices done, of the 4, before you receive this, but there is a reason why I'm giving this. Okay? So, in a good place. Mm-hmm. In a good place. I'm going to leave that up to you. Okay? Mm-hmm. They must be in a good state. Stable. Okay? So, yeah. I can't think of anybody who's a problem. Anyway, we'll do that. So see you this evening. Anyways, we've got lots of time today. Lots of time to practice. Good. By this punya kamma, this powerful kamma, may it lead to cessation of the floods, the asawas, the emotional floods, for all beings. Irante punikamang asawaki wango tu, irante punikamang asawaki wango tu, irante punikamang asawaki wango tu. Sabe sata sukita hantu, may all beings be healthy and happy, may all beings be established in a continuum of freedom, the perfect realization of wisdom and compassion. Saramangalam, saramangalam, saramangalam. Good.